evening on a Friday night. A little light shining through the window lets me know everything's alright.
Welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration. We are happy that you've joined us, and I want to begin the show by telling each and every one of you that music is like poetry, and it has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meaning that we can comprehend, like definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you again to pull back the curtain of our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibration. So thank you again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Without any further ado, I'd like to bring on our student host, Walter Pierce, who will be presenting a segment on the entrepreneur, boxer, heavyweight champion, all-around personality, George Foreman. Now, his next segment will be on his definition on the word independent. Now, rounding out the program for a surf curtain segment will be on the one and only iconic Isley Brothers. And the rest of the program will include comments and questions from our panelists. Thank you very much. Good morning, Walter.
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. And now, without any further ado, I would like to get into my first segment of today, which is Diamonds. But see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Now, again, my diamond for today is George Foreman. And see, Foreman grew up in Houston, Texas, and learned to box in a U.S. Jobs Corps camp in Oregon. At the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico City, he won the gold medal in the heavyweight boxing competition. The 6'3", 218-pound Foreman first captured the professional heavyweight belt by knocking out Joe Frazier in two rounds in Kingston, Jamaica on January 22, 1973. He had won all 40 of his professional bouts, including a sequence of 24 consecutive knockouts when he fell to Muhammad Ali in eight rounds in the Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire, now Congo, on October 30th, 1974. He retired from the ring in 1977 and became very involved in the community. Foreman's resume of professional boxing in 1987, he resumed professional boxing in 1987 at the age of 39 and found immediate success. Evidence later surfaced that George Foreman's promoter, Bob Arum, had paid bribes to the International Boxing Federation in order to manipulate Reagan's performance at a chance to title fight. Nevertheless, Foreman did very well when his chance at the title bout came. Despite his age and more than 30 additional pounds, Foreman remained a devastating puncher and captured the IBF and World Boxing Association versions of the world heavyweight title by knocking out Michael Moore in 10 rounds in Las Vegas on November 5th, 1994. In March of 1995, later on in 1997, Foreman retired from boxing again with the final career record of 76 wins and 68 knockouts and 5 losses. He was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 2003. A colorful personality in the world of boxing, Foreman had great success as a television spokesperson for a number of products, including a grill that was introduced in 1995. It earned him money and arguably more fame than his boxing career. And that concludes my segment on George Foreman. I want to thank you for listening to my segment on George Foreman. Just a great boxer all around and one of the most iconic boxers, even a great entrepreneur at that. So again, thank you for listening. And that was my segment on George Foreman.
Okay, and we're back. Now, I want to go straight to Mr. Harris. Good morning, Mr. Harris. What is it that you know that you can share some more insight on George Foreman? And just for everybody to know, we're going to refer to it as the grill. the man who knocked out Joe Frazier. You know, guard the grill with this man. He will knock you out. Good morning.
Yeah, well, you know, whenever it comes to George Foreman, for the older folks, we looked at him more as a boxing icon. He was like the supposedly one of the meanest men on the planet. He was just knocking people out left and right until Muhammad Ali straightened him out a little bit and kind of gave some humility to him. But he had a real engaging personality. He was really a nice guy once you got to meet him. And because of that, he did a lot of advertising, you know, mainly for the infamous George Foreman Grill, which I still have to this day. You know, but he was very good in business. He made really more money in business and doing advertisement for other products and stuff like that than he did in boxing. You know, and it's good for his longevity because he was another brother that started out as like a thug and built himself up and metamorphosed into something a little bit different as an adult. And then, you know, and he's really like the blueprint of what a lot of people in our community have done. They started out a little rough, and then once they got to be able to shine the diamond, and then they was really kind of instrumental in doing positive things for the community. I was really a George Foreman fan until he fought Ali.
I'm going to bring in the Black Librarian, Tamir Davis. Mr. Davis, how are you this morning? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Good. What was that comment? You don't want to say anything bad about George Foreman?
I am not saying anything bad about George Foreman because he could break my drawer and pay for it. So let me watch what I said about him. But as per Dr. Harris was saying, in terms of and I didn't live long enough to see all of the fights or experience that time period in which Dr. Harris had talked was just recently expounded upon in terms of the whole environment, the political environment, the social environment. That you know, in terms of the 70s of him winning fights and so on and so forth. So I won't be able to have experiential knowledge of it, but what I can say is that I have a Foreman grill right in my kitchen. I can say that much. And in terms of, and I'm watching anything in terms of fighting, I'm watching what I can say because I don't want him to break my drawer and pay for it. But I can respect him as an African American male figure and his ability to transition into entrepreneurship and especially during a time where you find a lot of sports personalities and have problems financially with business management, so on and so forth. He had the Foreman Grill since '95 and it's still going. And I never read any articles or heard of any inkling of filing for bankruptcy or what have you. And the fact that he's a family man, he takes care of all of his children. I haven't read or heard of any reports of any malice or any negative stories about his offspring in the news or media or what have you. So I think that with that alone, of being an icon and actually being able to maintain his family is phenomenal.
Mm. Thank you for that insight.
Mm-hmm.
Was there more?
I'm not saying nothing else. I'm not going to say anything else.
and we know why. thank you so much for your input. We'll be coming back to you in just a short. But right now, good morning, Phoenicia. Now, I'm not expecting you to be a boxing fan, and I'm not even expecting you to have the grill, but I am expecting for you to have a question or a comment. Good morning.
That was funny. Good morning, everybody.
I guess to sum up everything, I don't have a George Foreman grill. I guess to say just a simple fact that he's still successful with the George Foreman grill and how he took on the boxing industry and still have a wonderful legacy ahead. That says a lot about his business ethics and as I say, family and moral ethics. And we could take that and use that as an example for our own families so we can be better.
Well, thank you very much for your insight and comment. Now, we have one of my former students, Andrew Coates. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Morning, everybody. Good to be here.
Do you even know who George Foreman is?
Yes, most definitely. It's just one of those boxing greats, just like Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson. Absolutely. So I'm definitely familiar with his work, definitely familiar with the George Foreman grill. I think that's how most of my generation views him, just a boxer from back in the day. But we also know him for his lack of creativity when it comes to naming his sons.
Okay, so you just went out there on the branch. So he named
hey, I get it. I get it. It's all good.
All right. We've had a lot of fun with that, Walter. Walter, do you have any final comments after you've heard the panelists speak?
No, it was great comments from everybody in the panel, and I just want to thank everybody for that. And, you know, besides that, I could just continue on with my next segment of today, which is definitions. And see, this segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we could achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today is independence. And see, then the definition for independence I have here is the condition of a person, nation, country, or state in which its residents and population or some portion thereof exercises self-government and usually over its own territory. So example would be, you know, how America used to, you know, belong to Great Britain, and they gained their independence from Great Britain to become their own country. But, you know, the reason I do bring up this definition is because I want to have everybody's view on this, and it's about the day July 4th and Independence Day. And see, you know, there's just different viewpoints, you know, in the country of people who don't celebrate it and do celebrate it. And the people who don't celebrate it, the reason is, for African-Americans especially, is because, you know, when America gained their independence from Great Britain on that day, African-Americans were not free. They were still enslaved. So why would we be celebrating a day where we weren't even freed? It was Europeans and, you know, America was freed from Great Britain, but not the African-Americans. We were still enslaved. And then, you know, there's just other people that view it as a day where, yeah, America was freed. And if this never happened, if America never gained its freedom from Great Britain, you know, African-Americans could have probably been a slave to this day. Or, you know, African-Americans would have never gotten enslaved. And still, African-Americans are citizens to America, so still they should celebrate the day of Independence Day. So really, that's really why I bring up the word independence, because of the, you know, the two sides of it. And, you know, I would like to hear everybody's viewpoint on, you know, Independence Day. And the question I pose for everybody is, do you celebrate, you know, July 4th, aka Independence Day?
Okay,
Andrew, I'm coming right back to you, and you can answer Walter's question.
Well, as I grow older and as I mature and educate myself on the country and its history, as a person of color, obviously, you do find yourself at a crossroads where it's like, do you celebrate Independence Day or not? Because it very clearly was not Independence Day for many, many different people in this country who were still either heavily discriminated against and marginalized or were just flat out enslaved. So it becomes a little bit difficult, but I will say the one thing that I have always appreciated and the one thing that does keep me going is the idea of America. I really think the idea of this free country where everyone can grow and succeed, I love the idea of America. Do I think the country is there yet? Not necessarily, no. But that's the reason why I am not as militant against Independence Day as some others might be, for very good reason. I mostly celebrate the idea that America can be this free and independent country where everyone can grow and succeed and find equality and peace and happiness and safety.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comment and your input. I'm going to come right back to Tanisha. Tanisha, you heard the question being posed by Walter. I'd like for you to make a comment or ask a question. Go for it.
It's so funny. When you type in Independence Day, the first thing that pops up is the actual movie. So I guess that says a lot about how they feel about independence. But when you look at the definition of independence, it's very deep. It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's everyone's choice to, you know, celebrate it or not. Because like you said, the long history behind what America, how America came to be. And especially how can you come into a country that was already occupied and you're saying that, one, that you discovered it, and two, that you have a right to come in and reconstruct it. That says a lot about America and the world of its own, especially Europe, and how Europe still plays a major part in the effects of how the world is being viewed. So that's something to really think about, because all countries need to be liberated and all countries need to, you know, have an understanding of who they truly are. And I think then it would be better across the diaspora.
Okay. Thank you very much for that comment and that special insight that you delivered. We're going to go to the Black Librarian. Talk to me. Independent.
In terms of independence of this country, the quote unquote the founding fathers of this country, when they was actually considering the concept of independence and we being considered 3/5 of a human being during that particular time, and it was part of the drafting of the Constitution, we was not considered as part of the independence of this country, or that we were not considered beneficiaries of the concept of the independence of the country during that particular time. And then moving forward, it wasn't until decades or centuries later that we became inclusive of this country with the ratification, you know, the United States Constitution was ratified 27 times. And the fourth time it was ratified, and the 14th time and the 15th time is when we were actually considered as part of this country as a whole. But despite those particular concepts and those realities or those perceptions, reality is we still are not being totally inclusive of the concept of the independence movement. Some people feel as if, you know, they still have that whole antiquated idea of, you know, we are of the founding fathers and what have you, but the reality is this: we've been here for centuries on end, and this is our country just as well as it is the founding fathers, because we are the building blocks of this country. You can go as far back as Benjamin Banneker,
the clock, the mathematician, the surveying of the Washington, D.C. land. A lot of the inventions were invented by African-Americans or African-American scientists, so on and so forth, stuff like that. I think it's important. It's a very important book entitled Stake Your Claim, dealing with the oil well companies out of western part of America or middle America. This is our country, and I think it's important to stake our claim. No matter where you go in the world, if you go to Argentina, if you go to Africa, if you go to Europe, when you go over there with your American passport, they're going to see you as an American. In fact, I got married in Africa in Ibadan to my wife. And during the marriage ceremony, it was one of the clerks that spoke to me. She says, "You are a Negro." And I said, "Well, interesting that you say that, because the word Negro was actually called to pass as far back as 1976 with Richard B. Moore actually developing his soliloquy of arguing the case of not using the word Negro. So now we use the word African-American based on Richard B. Moore and his political fight to make sure that we are made whole. So I'm an American, and I'm going to stake my claim. And as an American, I'm going to fight for every human right and political right that we have in this country."
And you're going to celebrate on the 4th of July.
Well, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate. You know, just like I celebrate Juneteenth.
Okay. What? Well, you know I had to mess with you on that one.
I know you like beating me up. It's okay.
Okay. We're going to move right along, but thank you very much for your input and the historical research and information that you provided there. Mr. Harris, talk to us.
Well, the first answer to your question is no, as far as celebrating the 4th of July as an Independence Day. You know, it's like the brother was just saying, you know, people are just getting enlightened on what Juneteenth was all about. And it's still a grain of salt to go with that, because no one else could be able to make you whole or anything like that. If they have that much power over you to take something away, that means you had no power once they gave it to you. You know, you get whatever power they give to you for that. So celebrations for independences around the world, you know, I take with a grain of salt, but I'd rather do Juneteenth instead of the 4th of July, personally. And it could get real convoluted as the conversation goes on, so I'm going to leave it right there.
Okay. That's fine. Mr. Pierce, Mr. Walter Pierce, everyone has attempted to answer that question, and except for myself, and I will refer to Frederick Douglass, who in front of an audience of all whites on the 4th of July said, "What is independence when I am still a slave and my people are still slaves?" And someone yelled out of the audience, "Well, you are independent. You're wearing a suit. You're not a slave. Well, what are you talking about?" And at which point he took off his jacket and his shirt and turned his back to the audience so that they were able to see the burden that he carried with him for the rest of his life, the whips on his back from being a slave himself. And as far as celebrating the 4th of July, it is a preference that, yes, I'll celebrate Juneteenth, and I'll celebrate whatever I want, when I want, as an American in this country. Walter Pierce, Mr. Walter Pierce, what do you think about your panelists and their answers?
No, everybody's answer was great, and I love the, you know, diversity of the different answers that people provided and how, you know, everybody really explained their part of if they celebrate or not. And, you know, it's just a really important, you know, topic to discuss, because me personally, I do. I celebrate Juneteenth. That's really more important to me, because that's when my people got their freedom, you know, technically got their freedom. So that's why you know, Juneteenth is really more important to me. And just, you know, it's just great to see everybody answer that question and just, you know, hold their own. So besides that, I want to thank everybody for listening to my segment on definitions. And you are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. And with that being said, I can only think of one song to play, and that's Fight the Power.
Wasted. There's no guarantee.
community, many times we think that we are only the one individual that has to deal with all the pressures and stress that life can bring. But I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. There's a phone number that you can call for any type of mental depression or any type of problem or just someone to talk to. And that number is 1-800-662-4357. That number again, 1-800-662-4357. 1-800, our community specifically, seeking out a therapist, a psychiatrist, someone to talk to is basically taboo. But I'm here to say to you, each and every one of you, that it's okay to reach out and find someone to help you with your mental problems. And whether or not you put a name on it, please find someone to talk to. Now, I've often said that the mental problem in our community has been compounded by the COVID-19, and it just made it even worse. But without any further ado, I'd like to talk to you about a fable. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls specifically, find the child within yourself and listen to this story that you've probably heard before. It is an Aesop fable titled Bundle of Sticks. You see, an old man who had five sons was worried that his sons would never learn to get along. He brought all of his sons together and ordered his servants to bring in a bundle of sticks. He said to his oldest one, "Here, break the bundle." The son tried and tried, but even with all his might, he was unable to break the bundle. The other sons also tried, but none of them were successful. "Untie the bundle," said the father, "and each of you take a stick." And when they had done so, he called out to them, "Now break." And each stick was easily broken. "You see the meaning," said the father. "Working together is the lesson here, and it gives you strength." Walter, what do you think about this particular fable?
You know, this fable really teaches you, you know, keep your head up, keep pushing, and really just imposes that mental strength that a lot of people need to have, especially in these trying times that we're in right now. So that's what I have to say about that.
Okay. Andrew, what do you think about this particular fable that I just delivered to the audience?
Well, really, it just goes to show the power of teamwork and unity, which is a very a topic of discussion, especially today, where it seems like now more so than ever, at least from my memory, seems like we're more divided than ever before along lines of race, politics, religion in many cases. But at the end of the day, we all have to come together, learn to live with each other, learn to respect each other, most importantly, and unite and fight for a better future, for a better life for everyone.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Harris, what do you think about this particular fable?
Yeah, just like the brother just said, it's about unity. There's strength in numbers. And as long as we continue to be separated or single-minded about what we do, unless that single-mindedness includes everybody, it's easy to be broken as it is to break other things.
Okay. Thank you very much. Tanisha, what did you think about this particular fable this morning? Hold any reference?
Who's leading you, and that's very important, and who are you following? And just a simple fact that the father had enough wisdom to be able to problem solve, that speaks a lot of volume, because he was able to teach them how to work together. And it's important who in our lives are we listening to that's helping develop us to be that best human being that we could be.
Okay, some relevance there for you. Let's bring in the Black Librarian and your take on the fable and its importance and relevance.
I think to concur with everybody recently mentioned, it's about collective impact and teamwork. You get more done as a team. I look at it the same way if you look at an ant and its colony. I was recently looking at PBS, and there was a colony of ants, and they worked so inextricably connected to each other that they was able to build like an island, if you will, and float across the sea collectively working for the queen ant. So if you actually work collectively together, it's much more cost effective in time and your effort, and you get more stuff done. And it's about the division of labor at the end of the day.
Okay. All right. And so I'd like for us to listen to one song, and then we'll be right back, Walter Pierce and his last segment for this morning's program. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibration. Walter, give me a what are we listening to? Who are we?
The Isley Brothers.
Absolutely. But you're listening to Quest Community Vibration live on 89.5, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is what, Walter?
The best youth radio.
Okay. Okay, and now it's time for our next segment of Curtain, which is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community, but what benefits has the community gained from the artists? Curtains is a review of their musical growth and history, the impact of their particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of their listening audience. Musical and lyrical social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time between CD releases and nowadays more likely streaming. Curtain serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist's and this particular iconic group's genius and their involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. And now, Mr. Walter Pierce with this segment of Curtain.
Thank you. And now my curtain for today is, of course, the Isley Brothers. And see, after performing gospel music with their mother and around their native city, around their native Cincinnati, Kelly, Rudolph, and Ronald Isley gained pop recognition in 1959 with their composition Shout. In 1962, the trio cover version of the Top Notes, Twist and Shout, remained on Billboard's pop charts for 11 weeks. The Isley Brothers began their own record company, T-Neck Records, in 1964, shortly thereafter recruiting budding guitarist Jimi Hendrix for their band. They abandoned T-Neck and signed with Motown in 1965. The group had a hit a year later with This Old Heart of Mine. The Isley sound was rawer than standard issue Motown. However, and they restarted T-Neck in 1969, developing an increasingly funky fusion of rock and soul, most notably on It's Your Thing in 1969.
joined by younger brothers Ernie and Marvin and brother-in-law Chris Jasper in 1973. Sizes scored hits with That Lady, Part 1, Fight with the Power, Part 1, and For the Love of You, Part 1 and 2. The Isley Brothers continue to perform and to record well into the 21st century. The album Power of Peace, a collaboration with Santana, appeared in 2017. 1992, the Isley Brothers were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they received the Grammy Award for Lifetime Achievement in 2014. And that concludes my segment on the Isley Brothers. I want to thank y'all for listening to another current segment, and I would like to pass it on to Mr. Richard Bay.
Okay. I'm glad you did, because you just want me to play the song. But before I do, I want to get Mr. Harris in here. Mr. Harris, polish us up a little bit on the Isley Brothers.
Well, a lot of it is like with their longevity, but there was a couple of groups that had covered some of their songs that became very popular groups after that, especially the Beatles. That song Twist and Shout that the Beatles put out, it was just the Isley Brothers that put out that record like a year or so before, and that was one of their instrumental cuts to being able, that they played on the Ed Sullivan Show when they first came to America. You know, so along with the grooming, slight grooming with Jimi Hendrix, and other instrumental artists that have covered a lot of their songs, they really have an iconic position in music, not just black music, but music all together. And I really feel that they were truly one of the unsung people, or unsung groups and stuff, and that have been out there for 60 years.
Okay. I'd like for all of our panelists to have an opportunity to say their last words. And thank you so much for your contribution and being a part of Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio. Starting with Andrew Coates, tell us who you are and what your contribution in the future and in the past is going to be and has been.
All righty. Hello, everyone. Andrew Coates here, former Quest Youth Radio host. And my contributions for the future will be I'll be returning to the Quest Youth Radio team in small doses here and there. And I can't wait to come at you with some segments and some good stuff for in the future.
Okay. Mr. Harris, talk to us. What do you think about today's show?
George Foreman and the Ozzy Brothers, there's really not more that you can say about anything else. Just be independent in your thoughts.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Tanisha, talk to us.
So always be a good leader because everyone is watching you.
Okay. Val, you're on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. It was a fabulous show, and keep up the good work. Very good show.
Yep. Thank you so much. And Calvin, we're trying to – yeah, there you are, Calvin. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay,
oh,
question
opinion, Calvin. Okay. Yes, very briefly. George Foreman. Learn how to understand the popular opinion by confessing that he was duped. So I think the popular opinion about him changed at that moment. Isley Brothers, he sort of didn't play Summer Breeze, which is one of my all-time favorite, but they're still one of the greatest groups of all time. Have a great day, guys. Keep up the good work.
The Black Librarian, last word.
Beautiful show. I continue to enjoy the company. This is my therapy every Sunday.
Walter, take us away.
I want to thank everybody for listening to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of CN Hall in South Orange. And besides that, this is student host Walter Pierce, and Quest Youth Radio is the best.
Love you.
The best. Youth
radio. The best youth radio.